KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 7:05, we have a moderate shower here in Atlantic at 66 degrees. A severe thunderstorm watch is in effect until 10 a.m. for most of the KJAN listening area. We look for scattered showers and thunderstorms today, and again, some of those may be severe this morning. A high around 78. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Jeff Moranz of Stiefel Investments. So far, we picked up 0.08 of an inch of rainfall this morning. In the news, sheriff's deputies in Montgomery County report 35-year-old Jameson Gordon Schlupp of Red Oak was arrested Thursday in the 100 block of B Street in Red Oak. Schlupp was picked up on a warrant for sexual abuse in the second degree. No other information was provided. He was being held in the Montgomery County Jail on a $25,000 bond. The Glenwood Police Department reports two arrests took place on Thursday. 18-year-old Devlin Barrett of Glenwood was arrested for assault while displaying a dangerous weapon. His bond was set at $2,000. And 18-year-old Dylan Flynn, also of Glenwood, was arrested for assault. His cash or surety bond was set at $300. The Union County Sheriff's Office said Thursday a man from Creston reported Wednesday afternoon that someone had entered his storage unit in Creston and took a toolbox along with Craftsman tools. The incident, which happened sometime between June 16th and 19th, resulted in a total loss of about $5,000. The continued threat of rain and higher than normal reservoir releases into the Missouri River will hamper the draining of flooded fields and delay repairs to many damaged levees. Officials at the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers and the National Weather Service said Thursday during a news conference that although water levels on the river have dropped below flood stage in most places, rain over the next week could cause parts of the river to rise as much as 2 feet from Rulo, Nebraska, to where it meets the Mississippi River in St. Louis. Increased wet reservoir releases are also keeping swamped land from drying out. The Corps of Engineers reiterated Thursday that releases from the Gavins Point Dam on the Nebraska-South Dakota border will remain at 75,000 cubic feet per second until next Thursday, when officials plan to drop that amount to 70,000 cubic feet per second. That's still about twice the normal amount for this time of year. Three dozen flood victims in southwest Iowa have said they want to temporarily live in mobile homes provided by FEMA, but state officials suspect many more need to move into a FEMA trailer. Iowa Homeland and Security Management Director Joyce Flynn says FEMA has had difficulty negotiating leases with the owners of mobile home parks in southwest Iowa.
Two units were installed in a commercial park in Glenwood, and six other pads have been leased at that location. The problem that FEMA is running into with a lot of these pads or these locations is the electric is not up to standard. So they're going to have to redo the electric before they can put units in there and be sure that they're going to provide the support to the citizens they need.
FEMA has identified other parking spots for its trailers and mobile home parks in Red Oak and Shenandoah, according to Flynn, but the trailers aren't yet installed. She says 333 Iowans are eligible to live in a FEMA trailer, but they've told FEMA they're living in a safe situation, such as with a relative or friend's home, so they're automatically disqualified from getting on the list for a FEMA trailer. Flynn says flood victims need to tell FEMA their situation has changed if they want to live in temporary housing that FEMA can provide. Larry Winham, president and CEO of the Glenwood State Bank, says there's uncertainty about what federal help may be available to rebuild or buy out flooded properties that are condemned.
Nobody knows what the guidelines are.
And southwest Iowans who were flooded out of their homes in March are still waiting for officials to determine if their homes can be rehabilitated or are so damaged that they must be destroyed. This past Monday, inspectors from the state fire marshal's office began to assess 150 structures in Pacific Junction. More than 100,000 acres of farmland in three southwest Iowa counties were flooded this spring. One southwest Iowa farmer says his family has been able to plant just 3% of their cropland due to this spring's flooding.
About 75 or 6 acres is about all I'm going to get this year.
That's Pat Sheldon, who says in a normal year, his family's farming operation near Percival would plant 2,500 acres of corn and soybeans. They planted beans this year, and this is the second time in less than a decade that Sheldon's farm has been hit by flooding.
We had to build a new home after 2011, and we built this one up. So it's dry and in good shape. Some of our buildings have had water in them, but lost some grain bins and some of that stuff.
Sheldon says hauling out the rotten grain is a concern.
Most of ours isn't as bad as some of the neighbors have, but, you know, the structural integrity of some of those bins and getting the grain out in a safe manner is a real issue. I mean, a very dangerous issue. Farming's dangerous enough in normal conditions, let alone the things we're dealing with now, so And it's going to be a while because we've got to fix roads before we can even get a lot of it out.
Nearly 2 million bushels of corn and another 500,000 bushels of soybeans were sitting in grain bins and spoiled by this spring's flooding. The USDA has not yet come up with the documentation required for getting federal payments to cover some of those losses. State officials advise farmers who are removing grain to take photos and have a third party confirm how much grain was damaged. A state legislator from Glenwood said farmers in his area are struggling to figure out how to safely remove ground-level sections of their grain bins so a skid loader can be used to get the spoiled grain out. In the funeral announcements, Randy Allen, age 64, of Carson, died Monday at Jenny Edmondson Hospital. A memorial service for Randy Allen will be on June 29th at 2 p.m. at the Carson United Methodist Church in Carson. Reconvened Funeral Home in Oakland has arrangements. Willa Dean Duff, age 91, of Denison and formerly of Anita, died Monday. Funeral services for Willa Dean Duff will be today at 10:30 at the Hockenberry Funeral Home in Anita. Wayne Tye, age 72, of Griswold, died Sunday in Omaha. A massive Christian burial for Wayne Tye will be today at 11 o'clock at the Saints Peter and Paul Catholic Church in Atlantic. Recon Dune Funeral Home of Griswold has arrangements. Barbara Slepsky, age 54, of Mentor, Ohio, died June the 2nd. Memorial services for Barbara Slepsky will be today at 1:30 at the Wyota United Methodist Church. Ladine Osler Casey, age 92, of Scottsdale, Arizona, a native of Griswold, died December 1st. Memorial services for Ladine Casey will be tomorrow at 10 o'clock at Our Lady of Grace Catholic Church in Griswold. Recon Dune Funeral Home of Griswold has arrangements. Betty Ingerslev, age 95, of Elkhorn, died Monday. Funeral services for Betty Ingerslev will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the Bethany Lutheran Church in Kimbleton. Odie Funeral Home in Kimbleton has arrangements. Rosemary Boots, age 79, of Menlo, died Tuesday. Funeral services for Rosemary Boots will be on Saturday at 10:30 at the United Methodist Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home of Greenfield has arrangements. Thomas Ludwig, age 72, of Harlan, died June 12th. A mass of Christian burial for Thomas Ludwig will be tomorrow at 11 o'clock at St. Michael's Catholic Church in Harlan. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. Mary Ellen Nordby, age 70, of Erling, died Tuesday. Funeral services for Mary Nordby will be tomorrow at 2 o'clock at the Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Sue Stifler, age 74, of Exira, died June the 2nd. A celebration of life memorial gathering for Sue Stifler will be tomorrow from 2 until 4 p.m. at the Kessler Funeral Home in Exira. Nancy Dreher, age 70, of Hamelin, died June the 5th. Cremation has taken place, and memorial services for Nancy Dreher will be on Saturday at 3 o'clock at the Brayton Lutheran Church. Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic has arrangements. James Aug Sampson, age 74, of Walnut, died Thursday at Atlantic Specialty Care. Visitation of the family of James Aug Sampson will be on Sunday from 5 until 7 p.m. at the Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Avoca. Carolyn Diane Hall McJunkin, age 70, of Oakland, died Thursday at her home. Funeral services for Carolyn McJunkin will be held Monday at 10:30 at the Oakland United Methodist Church. Reconvened Funeral Home of Oakland has arrangements. Lorraine Simpson, age 100, of Council Bluffs and formerly of Exira, died Wednesday. Funeral services for Lorraine Simpson will be on Monday at 2 o'clock at Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon. Christopher Tucker, age 47, of Bridgewater, died Sunday. Funeral services for Christopher Tucker will be Monday night at 7 o'clock at St. John's Catholic Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has the arrangements. The news was brought to you by Jeff Morenz of Stiefel Investments. Give him a call at 712-243-5500. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.